visiting this morning, but also to those who are not with us here in church, but will join in our worship through a recording of the service or listening online. The intimations, I think most of them have already been up. The usual first one, when you feel as if you're not in British Airways, but the emergency exits. The next week is Communion Sunday. Dave is still on holiday next week at Communion Sunday, so Communion is being taken by a friend of Dave's, the Reverend Alan Ford. Then, as usual, at the close of the service, tea and coffee in the hall where folk have a cuppa and a chat together. Then, pastoral cover, while Dave is on holiday, between the 21st of August and the 10th of September, during these periods, any pastoral cover matters should be referred to the Reverend Scott Cameron and Scott's telephone numbers there. The Church Magazine, the September issue of the Livingston Herald, is now ready for elders to collect and ready for distribution. And Christmas is coming, as we say. Junior cast rehearsals are today this afternoon at 1:30, and the adult cast rehearsals begin tomorrow night, Monday the 26th, at 7:30. I think we have all the information. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we read, "Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way we are, but did not sin. Let us be brave then, and approach God's throne, where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Let's draw near to God, singing our first hymn, Tell Me the Old Story."
Tell me. those of you who are hard of hearing did read the intimations, because I believe I wasn't wired for sound. No? Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come into your presence this morning to worship, adore, and praise you. We thank you for loving us and providing everything we need, even before we ask. We come into your presence, O Lord, asking that your Holy Spirit might fill each of our hearts and souls. Father God, we give all glory and honour to you. We give our lives to you in service, in return for all you have blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for our homes, the food on our table, the love, support, and encouragement of family and friends. Lord, living in this world of hate, violence, selfishness, self-importance, and uncertainty, we need your comfort, strength, and reassurance more than ever. Lord God, we seek your presence and help in our lives while we promise you all sorts of things in return. Promises that in all probability we will not keep and will break through the thoughts that are in our minds, the wrong or unkind things that come out of our mouths, or the actions we take or don't take. Lord, you keep your promise that when we seek your forgiveness, it will always be given. We therefore place before you all our wrongdoings, asking that you will grant us your forgiveness and set us once more on a path that seeks to honour, follow, and serve you. All these things we ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord, and further pray in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want this morning to look at ways of serving and helping others. So I've got to say that at this point, this is the point where you all become children. Because I'm going to do a short picture quiz. And it wouldn't be fair in Natalie and the young folk if they were the only folk that we were asking the question. It'd be as well just to take a lamp out and shine it on them. So we're going to do a very simple picture question. Just shout out the answer. I want to know, what is the object and who would use it? What's the object and who would use it? Right, Ken, first one. Microscope used by a scientist. A guy, old-fashioned microscope. I'm sure nowadays microscopes don't look like that. They'll be much fancier than that. But a microscope used by scientists. And of course, scientists will use microscopes to look at tiny things. And usually they'll use microscopes to discover cures for illnesses like cancer and various other things. So what a great thing, and what a great way to serve others, to spend your working life finding things that will make people's lives better or make people's lives longer. Second one, stethoscope used by doctors, right? Doctors and nurses will use stethoscopes to check up on people when they are not very well. But of course, a lot of people who train to be doctors or who train to be nurses choose not to work in the local surgery or in the local hospital. They quite often choose to go abroad and to work in places where there's war or great hunger or natural disasters or earthquakes. And again, what better way to serve others than by helping people all over the world? The final picture, Ken. toolbox, right? We couldn't get a picture of a toolbox. We could only get a, right? We couldn't get a picture. We could only get a picture with the tools, but it's a toolbox, right? It's a toolbox. And of course, the toolbox has got instruments that would be used by joiners or by engineers or joiners or engineers, I think. But a toolbox is used by people to build things and to make things. And again, like the doctors and nurses, they're not always people who come to just work in our house and to do joinery work in the house or to do plumbing in the work or electrical work. Very often, they use their skills as builders to build huge structures, huge bridges, huge buildings, and also to build schools and hospitals for everyday life. And again, what better way to help and support other people than working and building structures that again make life better and make life easier? But we've tended just to look at the big ways of serving others. But in Mark's gospel, Jesus said that even the small things we do for one another are important. Look at this glass of water. In Mark's gospel, Jesus said, even if we give a cup of water to someone in need, it's an important way to serve. Helping others in small ways is important because God notices the small things that we do for one another. And he promises that if we bless others by helping them in the small things, he will in turn will bless us. A question. What things will each one of us do this week to serve and help others at school or at work or at home? What will we do this week to serve others? Because helping others is doing as Jesus asked us to do, I've chosen as the young folks' hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. At the end, we'll have a short prayer before the young ones go out. Lord God, your Son told his disciples to become like little children. Lead us to work for the welfare and protection of all young people. May they flourish in life and follow the example of Jesus Christ. Amen. Two short readings this morning. One from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, and the other one from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And Ken's going to read.
Micah chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And the New Testament reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to the God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Thanks, Ken. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings from his word. Our next hymn is a short hymn, A New Commandment I Give Unto You. So we'll sing it through twice. That I speak and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. I spoke earlier about how God notices all the small things and all the kind things that we do for one another and for others. And the fact that he will use our kindness to bless others and in return, we'll bless, we ourselves will be blessed. One song that I'm very fond of is a song by Beth Nielsen Chapman, and it's entitled How We Love. It's a song I first heard at the end of a particularly stressful day at school, where I was ready not to go back the next morning, but got into the car and this was playing. And it really has stuck with me from that day. How we love, it says. From the smallest act of kindness, in a word, a smile, a touch, all that matters is how we love. In doing some reading for this morning, I came across words from another singer-songwriter, a Christian singer-songwriter, a lady called Carrie Newcomer. And she, at a recent concert, told her audience, love your neighbour. And then she asked them the question, love your neighbour. How do you love your neighbour? Because that's a big thing. That's a big thing. It's huge. But kindness, she said, kindness is smaller. Everyone can do acts of kindness. A word of thanks, a greeting in the street, a nod of approval to an anxious child. And she went on to say that if we could just be kind to one another, then we would find love, that great big love promised by God. You know by now, I hope, that the focus this morning is kindness. Kindness is not always being big and flashy in what you do, but kindness, and sometimes more effective kindness, is small and simple. But yet these small and simple acts can make huge differences to people's lives. Think of when someone was kind to you. Was it a small act of kindness that lifted you? It could just have been that small card at a time of ill health or need or worry or concern from someone just to say that they were thinking of you. Or if you were like Jean Patterson, when you were ill or feeling down, it was a couple of pancakes or a couple of scones left on your doorstep or passed to you at the door of the church. Short, simple acts, but short, simple acts long remembered. Kindness appears, in my reading I discovered that kindness appears in the Bible in many contexts. In the Greek of the New Testament, it comes from the word Christos, spelt C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And that's not to be confused with Christas, spelt C-H-R-I-S-T-A-S, which means Christ. Just one letter of difference in both words. But in further reading, I came across a piece by one writer who commented that in the first century, the believers were so kind that many people were unsure as to whether their title meant followers of Christ or followers of kindness. There's an important fact about kindness. Kindness always begins with an inner disposition of compassion or mercy that results in an outward act that's meant to benefit someone. Kindness is something that really should grace our whole nature and should mellow everything that we would do that might be harsh or austere. I came across a story about a man called Roberto de Vincenzo, an Argentine golfer, that illustrates this. He once won a very prestigious golf tournament, and after receiving his cheque and having all the photographs taken, he walked to his car in the car park alone. And as he was walking alone, he was approached by a young woman. After congratulating him, she told him that her child was seriously ill and very close to death. De Vincenzo was very touched by her story And there and then, he endorsed his winning cheque and signed it over for payment to the woman. And as he handed it to her, he said, "Make some good days for the baby." The following week, he was out for a meal with friends when someone came up to their table to say that he had saw what had happened the previous week in the car park. "I'm sorry to tell you," he said, "but she's a phony. She's not married. She has no sick baby. She fleeced you, my friend." "You mean there's no dying baby?" asked De Vincenzo. "That's right," said the man. "No dying baby." "Oh," said Vincenzo, "that's the best news I've heard all week." That story for me captures the double nature of kindness. Kindness beginning with a heart of compassion that focuses on the well-being of the other. A heart that's gentle and slow to take offence. Out of his initial act of kindness and out of his generosity of spirit came his reaction to learning that he had been duped. The two acts of kindness always go together: kindliness of spirit and kind action. Jesus taught kindness. He showed kindness. And of course, the best story that Jesus, or the best known story that Jesus told of kindness, is the story of the Good Samaritan. Whenever the Bible states that Jesus was moved by compassion, that inner state of his always results in an outward act of kindness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he sent his followers into every town to prepare for his coming to them as the good shepherd. Later, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Another time, he had compassion on the crowd because they had been with him for 3 days and had nothing to eat. So he fed them with a few loaves and fish. He had compassion on two blind men and restored their sight. He had compassion on the leper and healed his disease. And we could go on and on. Kindness of the kind that we've been talking about this morning, almost biblical kindness if you like, requires kindness of heart and action, both to people we know and, more importantly, to people we don't know. Sometimes to people that are very unforgiving. Sometimes to people that we don't... I've lost my place. To people we don't know and to people that we do know, including those we live in with day in and day out. It requires being kind to people who may be unappreciative. It requires being kind to the undeserving, even those who hurt us. It also requires us to be consistent in our kindness. God wants sustained kindness from us, not simply random kindness. In a community like the church, where kindness is taught and practiced, kindness becomes the norm, expected and expressed in countless acts of daily life. And in such communities, people tend to shrug off kindness by saying things like, "Oh, it's what any decent person would have done." A touch of the hand, a bowl of soup for the hungry, a drink of cold water on a hot day, small acts of kindness to animals, to the earth. Yes, the earth. We even just need to look at what's happening in the news just now about the Amazon rainforest. Yes, being kind to the earth, to friends, to strangers. Over time, if we maintain our kindness, kindness becomes ingrained in our spirit. The church offers us, or it should offer us, an environment for teaching kindness, shaping us into the kind of people that God wants us to be, and that this world in the present day so desperately needs. Here in church, we hear again and again words from Scripture that shape our attitudes and actions. From Ephesians, be kind to one another. From Colossians, clothe yourselves with kindness. From 1 Corinthians, love is kind. And from Micah, as Ken read, as we heard, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God? I want to end with something that I read, the words of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, spoken near the end of his life. He said, "When I was young, I used to admire intelligent people. As I grow older, I admire kind people." And the very end, the same question that I asked before. What will you and I do this coming week to serve and help other people in our community, in our workplace, or at home? Amen. We continue to worship God in our offering.
Life has taught me this, every day is new, and if anything is true, all that matters when we're through is how we love. Faced with what we lack, some things fall apart, but from the ashes new dreams start. All that matters to the heart is how we love. Mistakes, chances come again. If we lose or if we win, all that matters in the end is how we love.
We continue our worship singing our next hymn, O Lord, all the world belongs to you.
Thank you.
called what we were talking about kindness, kindness in heart and mind. I want to take some time to talk about kindness in action. And if you like, this is the commercial, because in a few weeks' time, we're going to have our Harvest Festival, and we're going to, as usual, support the work of Blytheswood Care. And I thought I would take the opportunity this morning to let you see the short video that Blytheswood Care have put out for 2019. They put out a short video every year if you go onto their website. But here is kindness in action.
There's a desperate need in some parts of the world. Countless people are struggling to maintain living standards far removed from our own. At Christmas time, in the heart of winter, for many the priority is keeping their family healthy, keeping them warm. In 1993, Blytheswood Care set out with 300 shoeboxes, filled by members of the public with gifts of simple necessities that many can barely afford, and others must simply go without. The boxes went to poor children and families in Romania, each gratefully received and each making a big difference to a difficult life.
So I remember the first time I got the shoe boxes. I think it was around when I was 12 or 13, in 93 or 94. Getting these shoe boxes were amazing. My dad didn't have money, but didn't get gifts for Christmas. They were like big surprises, like.
We came back home, doubled and redoubled our efforts, asking for more help, more boxes, more lorries, more drivers, and went to more destinations. No matter how many boxes we get, there are never enough. The problem isn't going away. So neither are we.
We were told that they were made by kids, like us, they just wanted to make gifts for us. And yeah, I just thought it was nice that somebody thinks about us. That is special. Do you have other people from other countries sending gifts to us as kids? It was special. It is special, even now.
For the last 20 years, I've been coming to Eastern Europe and Asia to deliver shoeboxes. Often people say to me, why do people make up a shoebox for me? and it's because of the love that you have for those that you don't even know that receive these shoeboxes. It's such a privilege to be able to deliver them on your behalf. In this, our 25th anniversary year of delivering shoeboxes, we hope to beat our record again and raise the total number of shoeboxes that we deliver. Last year, we delivered more than 115,000 shoeboxes. But with your help, we believe that together, we can do better still. Can you fill a shoebox this year and help us make a difference to someone in need at Christmas?
Well, what's not made clear in the video is that in actual fact, into every box that Blythewood delivers, they put a testament when they go to the central depots. Small testament is put into every box, which makes them the largest, the largest distributor of testaments in Europe, right? So, as well as the box. Let's come before God again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, accept these, our offerings, as a token of our love for you, and we ask that they will be used wisely to further your work on earth, in our local area, and further afield. Lord, we know that even the smallest acts of kindness we show to others is pleasing to you and can make a huge difference. We pray for families like those we have just watched being helped by Blythewood Care. Families for whom the smallest and simplest of things make life a little easier or happier. We pray for the work of Blythewood and other similar charities as they seek to show your compassion for those in difficult and extreme situations. Lord, as we pray for your love and help for those in great need, help us to realise that each one of us is part of your answer to our and their prayers, because we are your hands and eyes and heart here on earth. Lord God, we pray for those throughout the world who live where there is conflict, constant change, loss of civil liberties and rights. In your mercy, we ask that you work in the hearts of men and women to address their needs in these difficult situations. We pray, Father, for those closer to home who live in need. We place before you the needs of the homeless, the jobless, the drug addict, as well as those who feel that life is nothing other than one big pit of despair. Lord, in your mercy, answer their need. We remember those who are ill, in hospital or at home. We remember those who mourn and ask your support for them and your presence with them in their time of grief. Lord God, give hope to the despairing, comfort to the lonely, and hope to those who feel abandoned. Be with those we have mentioned, those we have omitted to mention, and be with each one of us as we go into this new week. All this we ask once more in the name and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, I'd like just to take the opportunity to thank Ken for his reading and to thank Susan and Ken for doing the projection, because this morning's the nerve-wracking bit for them, in case they get it wrong, but I can assure you that the real work is the work that they have been doing for at least the past fortnight in this. So for Susan and Ken and for Ross, who does it on a very regular basis, we should really be quite appreciative, because it's not as easy and simple as it looks projected on the screen. Our final hymn is also a hymn plus another wee video, Beauty for Brokenness.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trade for the skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams. Plundered and poisoned, a future and dreams. Lord, end our madness, carelessness breed. Make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. Until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Change our love from a spark to a flame. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love.
from this time of worship, ready to serve you wherever we are and in whatever we do. And may your grace, mercy, and peace be with each one of us, those whom we love and those whom we struggle to love. And all God's people say, Amen. And like Andrew, I'm changing the exant and changing it to Spirit of the Living God.